From Wall Street to your street, and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. When investing on Wall Street, there are plenty of mistakes even the smartest investors make. The Heard on the Street podcast examines how to avoid them and how Wall Street really invests. Coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Reporting from New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried, joined by my colleague Steve Russolillo. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Miriam. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We have Heard on the Street Spencer Jacob here to talk to us about his new book, Heads I Win, Tails I Win. The book came out this week and has already climbed to the top of Amazon's charts for books about investing. Welcome, Spencer. Spencer, a big premise of your book is that trying to time the market as an investor is an exercise in futility and a surefire way to miss out on a lot of upside. Are you saying that there is no advantage in trying to buy stocks at the bottom and sell them at the top, which is the conventional wisdom?
No. If you know a way to buy stocks exactly at the bottom and to sell them exactly at the top, please tell me, because I'm going to quit my job at the Wall Street Journal and just go do that. But I think that obviously you can accidentally buy stocks at the bottom and accidentally sell them at the top. But everyone in the market is trying to do that. People wish that they had a time machine and were able to do that. Collectively, our attempts to do that not only are a wash, but really, really hurt individual investors. The statistics are amazing. I mean, people cost themselves a couple of percentage points a year just trying to do this, just basically zigging when they should be zagging. And it seems like that can't be the case because your loss at least should be someone else's gain, but that the money doesn't go into the pocket of someone just like you because, you know, us individuals just do that all the time. And it goes into patient people's pockets instead.
And Spencer, when you talk about a couple of percentage points, I mean, when I was reading this book and I was thinking to myself, okay, if you can get a return that's, let's say, 6% as opposed to 8%, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, 6 and 8, it's a couple of percentage points. But what I found so amazing was how much that really adds up over time. So, yeah, maybe 1 year might not be a lot, but the numbers that you have in here are just staggering. I mean, these are large sums of money that mm-hmm. people are missing out on. So what should you do?
Well, I mean, I'll just give you very quickly one example. This is, you know, based on data from Dalbar over 30 years, which is the most long-term series. And based on their stats, the difference would be like this. Let's say, you know, you and I have a rich relative that leaves us money and says, neither of you guys can touch this money for 30 years. But Spencer, you used to be a top-rated analyst. You do what you want with it. You invested in funds and whatever. And Steve, you have to put it 60% in the cheapest stock index fund, 40% in the cheapest bond index fund. And, you know, because I don't trust you, you know, your hands being tied would result in you having 7 times as much money as me after 30 years, if I'm typical, according to Dalbar's numbers.
That 7 times as much.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
So wait a second. Now, you just said if I'm typical. Now, if I'm like Mr. Star hedge fund investor, I'm going to say, well, I'm not typical. I'm better. I'm better than the average investor. I can definitely beat the market. I can definitely beat that 7 times.
Well, that's the thing is that people think that they know something. And so I purposely put smart in the title because it's smart people who tend to do this the most. So, you know, if that makes you feel better, being smart in many areas of life doesn't make you a smart investor. It makes you a bad investor. And that's the problem is we outsmart ourselves, which is why I advocate basically, you know, taking your opinion out of it and, you know, being cheap and lazy, basically paying as little as possible to invest and doing as little as possible. And especially the times that you really, really hurt yourself are at those junctures when the market is very toppy or very scary.
And Spencer, your bottom line here is pretty simple, as you're saying. So cheap index funds, you're basically saying steer clear of actively managed funds. If mm-hmm. you're reading about a top-rated analyst or a top-rated fund manager, steer clear of that person because, yeah, they might have had a good year or two, but the odds that it will continue are so low. So stay cheap. use passive index funds and just rebalance every year, right? That's right.
And rebalance mechanically, because I'll talk to people who say, oh, yeah, no, I do that. And but it's looking a little toppy. What do you think? I mean, markets are a record. Maybe I should take some money off the table. Or people would say the opposite. You know, this looks like this momentum is going to continue. And both those people are wrong, even though they have the opposite view of the market. Because just having an opinion, you might be right this time, and you'll likely be wrong at some time in the future, and you'll be more wrong than you are right.
So when you say rebalance mechanically, you mean just stick to your formula of X percent bonds, X percent stocks.
And to do it on a schedule rather than to be watching the headlines. And, you know, if you're the type of person who is going to see the Dow plunge 700 points and then panic about it, even though you were in cheap index funds, then maybe you need handholding. Maybe you need a person, a human financial advisor on the other end of the phone, because even they'll cost, let's say a fee-only advisor will cost you 1% of your assets a year, which is not a small amount of money. They may save you more than 1% a year by kind of being your psychiatrist at times like that.
Great. Thank you so much. We are going to have to end it there. That wraps things up for this week's Heard on the Street podcast. Please join us every week for the latest in global investing. For more, please check us out at wsj.com/heard. That's wsj.com/heard. From New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried. On behalf of the rest of the Heard on the Street team, thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.